At Peterson Farm Seed, we're the kind of seed company that believes in doing the right thing, not the easy thing, every time. Like finish your work before you go out to play. Or maybe a better example, striving for crazy high quality standards like 94% germination in soybeans. When you aim that high, you have to do everything differently. But higher quality seed in the bag means higher yields in your combine hopper. It might be easier to just sell you some seed, but our goal is to help you raise more bushels. Peterson Farm Seed. We're that kind of seed company.
Welcome back. Yes, more from Big Iron. This week, had a chance to visit with my good friend,
Dwayne Bussey of Bold Ag Marketing, Britton, South Dakota. How you doing, Dwayne?
I'm doing really well. Enjoying the day. It's a nice day out here.
Kind of excited about the markets here lately that we've harvest pressure. If this is harvest pressure, bring it on, huh?
Well, right, exactly. I think you're getting a good point there. Harvest pressure is coming, probably. It's not quite here yet, it seems like, but eventually farmers will be selling the beans, especially. You know, we got a really nice narrow basis, especially up here in North Dakota right now, just before harvest. You know, we didn't have the typical rally during the spring like we normally have, where we can do some pre-selling. So I think there's just not a lot of sales on the books, and that's got these elevators kind of like, well, are we going to get enough beans in to fill this train we've got coming here in a couple weeks? So the basis is nice and narrow, but I had a feeling a couple weeks when we get more guys rolling, I think that basis widens out, and you're going to see that harvest pressure you mentioned.
Basis is something that we don't talk about enough, and it's poorly understood. Just a couple of ag econ professors understand basis. Farmers don't want to even think about it. But this is something that is getting a lot of buzz this year.
Absolutely, and it should. Basis should be the number one reason why you sell your commodity. If your basis is narrow and you think it's going to get wider, then you sell your commodity. Because, of course, there's guys like me and other brokers out there that have tools that you can own it back. You know, so you know, if you are a guy who's just cash only sellers, you won't touch the futures. What I worry about what happens here is, you know, you talk to guys like me, generally bullish soybeans for this winter, so you throw them in storage and you hold them. Well, basis widens out 30 cents on you, futures rally 25. Well, you still lost 5 cents though.
Yeah.
So yeah, basis should be very important.
Most people say, okay, I'm going to sell my crop. I don't want to own it again.
Right.
I want to get rid of it. But again, this is a unique marketing strategy. That how many people are utilizing it?
It is. You know, the percentage is growing all the time. What you see is these young guys come back out of college and they're not afraid of the paper. And, you know, they push the pencil and the spreadsheets and they'll sell where the basis is narrow. Then they buy it back either straight futures or they'll use bull call spreads to limit their risk. You know, if they don't want the margin calls, there's ways to own it without losing the farm. Say, and here's the thing is, if you buy a call option, say for 15 cents because you sold the grain and you buy a call, the basis was narrow. Okay, if you lost money on that 15 cents, that means the market went down, and then that cash sale looks even better, doesn't it?
Boy, I guess. As we move forward, this is the way grain is going to be traded or at least sold, because the days of driving the truck to the town and selling off the combine, those are over, right?
Right, yeah. I think to be, you know, the top end producers, marketing is going to have to be a big part of it. You know, it used to be a generation ago, you just put the grain in the bin and just hold it. That was your savings account, and that's fine. But with interest costs nowadays and the cost for the inputs the next year, you just can't have that much loan and that much interest cost out there. So yeah, you move the product when the basis is narrow, buy it back if you want upside. I make it sound easy, you know, but yeah, it actually is simple if you don't make it so complex.
But it's even simpler if you don't own a bin to begin with. I mean, I just
right.
Alienated all the bin salesmen out there, but
yeah, they'll probably come running around the corner here any minute now. But you're right, it depends on everyone's situation. You know, if you're a producer that doesn't have any bins, all my beans go straight to town, and you're listening to this today, I'm going to tell you, well, go ahead, lock in this basis right now, sell it, and then you can buy it back with paper. Absolutely. You know, if you're the kind of guy that you've got enough bin storage and you prevent plant this year, all of it can go on farm, well, then maybe not selling the cash isn't for you. Maybe then you'd just buy some put options to protect this $1.30 rally we've had at the end of harvest, and then you can store the grain and wait for a later price next July.
It's not that much different than a 401k. I mean, we're putting our part of our paycheck into a 401k and waiting for the market.
Right, and people got to realize farming is a business too. And if your business model says, you know, here's the way I should handle it, you just go through with it. Business plans are very good. Same with marketing plans. Stick with them and you'll do just fine. The problem is, myself included, I'm a producer as well, we get emotional, right? You know, markets rallied $1.30 for beans and China's buying. well, I don't want to miss out if there's another $1.30 coming. So you do, you get emotional. What I try to do is go back to my little computer and look at my spreadsheet and go, am I making money or not? And a lot of times, if you can just make money and take emotions out of it, you'll do really well in life.
All right. But let's go back to the emotions. How are you doing in Ron Britton, South Dakota this year? Because Prevent Plant was your biggest crop the last 2 years.
Yes, it was, and very frustrating. But I'm happy to report that we got a lot of it worked. We got a lot of cover crop planted late. It's coming up. It looks nice. I think we'll get back in the game next year, I think, and be able to plant at least 70, 80% of our crop is what I'm hoping.
What happened? I mean, was it two wet falls or what?
It was a combination of the two wet years together. You know, the previous year we had a lot of Prevent Plant as well, but it stayed wet all summer and all fall. So we couldn't get it worked. We didn't get any cover crop planted. We got it sprayed, and that was about it. Well, that created the shell on the ground, and it was just muck underneath. So when we got to this spring, we started to dry out, but all it took is a couple inch and a half rains, and it was just muck from top to bottom. I went out there with the tillage equipment, and it wasn't even close. We couldn't get going. So.
Wow. And I talked to somebody who was working cover crop ground and Prevent Plant, and, yeah, they're leaving big ruts in the field. Yeah. 15th of September.
I know. Here we are again. Like I said, we still have standing water in spots, maybe 20% of our ground, or maybe not even quite that bad. So I still would like to see it get a little bit drier, but at least it's not water on half of our ground like it was there. But we're looking much better. We're excited. Kids are out playing sports so far, as long as COVID stays away. So I know we're having a good time in Britain.
Yeah, good. All right. Where's the pendulum swinging as far as the crops you're going to plant next year?
That's a very good question. I guess I'd have to say right now I lean actually a little bit more towards the soybean side of things with the China demand that's happening. Yes, they're buying some corn, but what I don't like about the corn market is the ethanol side of things right now. That's ethanol demand's a big part of corn demand, right? It makes up about a third of our demand. And right now we're at about 90% capacity of ethanol demand versus what we were COVID, pre-COVID levels. 90% doesn't sound bad until you do the math behind it. And over a year, that means about 500 million bushels more of corn. So right now we're at a 2.5 billion for an ending stock. You add 500 million to the end of that, you're at 3.0, and that doesn't call for a very high price. So I lean more towards the soybean side of things, but boy, you better ask me come spring, because you know me, I'll change my mind 100 times by then.
But the world will change 100 times by then. Right now China needs to feed their animals, their people, they've got a protein gap. Yep. It's pretty important that they get soybeans.
Absolutely. You know, African swine fever, we know what it did to their hog herd, right? But in one way, it let them totally, I don't know, change their hog herd and their whole setup. They used to be, you know, five or six hogs out back behind every household, even in cities. Uh-huh. And now they're going to change to these big manufactured
hogs. The American
facilities.
Way.
The American way. Even maybe take it a couple of steps higher. You know, they're going to have these big, like, silo-type buildings that they have hogs stacked on top of each other. And you know what that means is a lot of protein. A lot more protein. They're not going to eat the scraps from other pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can tell how ASF spread. What they're going to do is have high protein, high intense diets, which means more soybean meal. Absolutely.
All right. Well, again, so, and how long could that last? I mean, because China's not the only country doing that.
Yeah, no, that's a permanent change there. Yeah. That's not like they're going to go to this bigger manufacturing type hogs and then go back to the other way. This is something actually China wanted to do for a long time. Now ASF was the disaster there, and nobody ever wants that, but they're going to take advantage of it to change their hog structure. So no, moving forward, they're just going to need a lot of feed for their animals.
They're also buying corn, though, and again, how long can this last? Is this a bubble that's going to get burst?
That's the ultimate question there is how is China really doing? Are they out of supplies? Are they, from what it sounds like, I think they're critically low, whatever level that is. Nobody ever is really going to find out from China, right? But they're buying from us now. That's what we do know. They need it then, obviously. And the U.S. dollar keeps going lower, so they should keep buying. I think what they want to do is build those supplies back up, those reserves back up, in case they have any problems or a trade war starts again in 2 years or something. Mm-hmm. They want to have those reserves built up. So I wish I could tell you how much they're going to buy. All I can tell is they're buying now, and that's a bullish thing.
Okay. And how about in wheat? Is there a reason to plant the old acronym, call it poverty grass? Is there reason to get into wheat?
Well, yeah, there still is. I mean, there's so many other benefits to wheat with a crop rotation, everything else. So, no, I don't think you need to throw wheat aside. And actually, if you had wheat here this fall, which it seems like the yield was much better than I thought. I thought the hot, dry weather in June was just going to hurt our yields. But we had some good yields. I'm telling guys, go ahead and store it now because, one, I think the price is bottomed. I think we can go higher. We're following Russian wheat prices, believe it or not. When Russian wheat prices go up, we assume our wheat prices have to go up eventually. So we're following that a little bit. But I also think the basis is going to get quite a bit better in North Dakota. I'm talking like 30 cents better than we are right now going into December, January. That alone will pay for storage, or if you have it then, wait till then, let it go then. But yeah, it might. Do I see $6 or $7 wheat in the future for next year? We're going to need two or three disasters in other countries to get that. So no, you're right. Don't get too bullish.
Okay. And China needs hogs, but the hog market isn't happening.
Right, but you know the hog market isn't bad in the U.S. We've come up. Yeah, the cash price isn't the best, but it's got a good future here. We got our carcass weights are back down to normal, pre-COVID levels. We took care of that overweight thing really quickly. Exports are very good, and they're going to keep being good to China, Japan, everyone else because of the protein demand. So I see better things in the hog market, better than the cattle market, though. The cattle market makes me nervous at times here.
Okay. All right, Duane Bussey, Bolt Ag Marketing. You're at a panel at Big Iron, but how do guys get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can call us directly at our office, 605-448-2365, or they can check us out online at boltmarketingllc.com.
All right. Happy fall farming, and have a great winter helping guys make some money in the market.
I'll do my best. Thanks, Mick.
You bet.